Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello, welcome to Film Fandango, the film podcast. My name's David Reed, and joining me as ever is Mr. Marek Larwood. Hello, Marek.
Hello, David. I've just decided I'm going to start this with my eyes closed.
Okay, well, how does, to experience what it's like for the listener?
Well, apparently if you shut down one of your senses,
the others become more heightened.
Yeah, so this should, I should be automatically more entertaining.
Okay. Your entertainment sense will be heightened.
Is it strange for you looking at me when, well, are you still looking at me or have you got your eyes closed as well?
No, I'm still looking at you because I don't fully trust you.
Do you... What, with, if you close your eyes, what I do?
Yeah, I don't know how long it'll take for my other senses to compensate and for me to sort of see you in a sort of CGI way and be able to fend you off.
You know? What, so you think as soon as you close your eyes, I'm going to attack you?
I don't know, it might be some sort of ruse.
But I've been coming around here for quite some time now, and have I ever shown you any proclivity, is that the word?
Proclivities?
Yeah.
Well, I guess if it was
you?
A sort of near sexual desire to...
What does proclivity mean?
Is it sort of an habits, urge? Yeah, things you like to do.
I bet you've never heard that. I've opened my eyes now because I was so shocked I used the wrong word. But I don't think I've used that word if I hadn't had my eyes closed.
Well, that's probably because your other senses were heightened.
I bet no one's heard that in a podcast for a while.
Proclivities. Today's Film Fandango word is proclivities. Try and use it in a sentence. We're going to be talking about some films. Specifically, Marek has seen a film that I've wanted to see. Lots of people in London especially have been saying you must see this film. It's really good. We should all talk about it.
Yes.
That film is?
It's I, Daniel Blake.
I, Daniel Blake. And what is this film before we get
this
into it?
This is Ken Loach's latest film. It's just the film equivalent of an essay on poverty.
In Britain
in 2016.
Right. So, what's the story?
The story is Daniel Blake is a carpenter, and we join him as he is recovering from a heart attack, and he's no longer able to work, but he has to try and seek benefits. But because of all the red tape put in, and it's just an American company. Monitoring how well he is over the phone.
Yes.
He's unable to get the benefits and starts to sort of struggle.
It's the aftermath.
Yeah. And he befriends a young girl. Well, she's about in her early 20s in the job centre, who's played by Hayley Squires, who is exceptional in this film.
Hayley Squires?
Yes.
I don't know her. What's
and
she
she's got two children.
Okay.
And he helps. She is not given her benefit because she's late, her bus is late, and she's new to the area because she's been relocated from London to Newcastle because they've it's too expensive to house poor people in London.
Okay, so it is very much a of the here and now piece of work. What is it like? Did you enjoy it? Did you learn stuff?
I found it profound. It's very depressing and it's profoundly moving. And I do think there's a huge problem that in Britain with poverty, or I think the to split between the haves and, you know, the wealthy and the well, i.e. have you got a house or have you not got a house? But it's I just think it's so moving. I mean, I know that the bloke who plays Daniel Blake is the comedian who's been on the circuit. It's a side story. Who's called Dave Johns, who's sort of a jobbing comic.
Right.
Who's sort of a nice bloke. You see, I've only met him a couple of times because he works in Newcastle circuit, but he just jonglers and all that stuff. So it was incredible to see him have a break. So in a way, for comedians, it's strangely hopeful that someone who's just been there for years and years plugging away suddenly gets his huge break and wins the Palme d'Or. So that's a separate thing. But in terms of... it's just really relevant about poverty, and it doesn't offer any solutions of how you deal with it. I just think it's a huge problem, and hopefully this film will inspire people to help more. I think it does make you want to go and give food to a food bank and help people who are really poor, which I would do if I wasn't so skint myself.
Well, you pay rent in London. I mean, that's an impossible thing.
Hayley Squires is incredible. I think it's sort of a matter-of-fact film.
Right.
There's no sort of flourishes or, you know, like flamboyant to it. It's just, here's the problem, here's an insight into the people's lives, the sort of brutal normality and the problems they face. And there's one scene everyone talks about where Hayley Squires goes to a food bank, and it's just a moment when you're so... I cry about 3 or 4 times. I spoke to a couple of friends, and they found it really, really upsetting film. But I don't know if... Hopefully it will have an effect, but I don't know what the effect will be.
Well, because there does seem to be a problem generally in Britain with empathy for other human beings at the moment. Like, everyone is feeling the slight pinch of the recession and therefore is thought of, well, fuck everybody who isn't me. There seems... I don't know how we got here quite, but we do...
I think it's just overcrowded. The whole place is... The problem is... I'm sorry to get all... I don't really want to ever get political at all. I think, but interesting, when I went to America, you just see this huge amount of space there.
Mm.
And in Australia, there's space... Britain's overcrowded. There aren't enough houses for people, you know, which is... And they can't pay... The rents are extortionate, so everyone who hasn't got a house is just totally screwed.
And they can charge what they like because you can either live there or lump it.
I think housing should never be an industry. I think it should be one house per person. It should never be a way of people making money out of other people.
Mm.
Shouldn't be. It's just... one person... One house. You can have a massive house if you like.
Yeah.
That's fine. But one person, one house.
Hello, Buddy.
And here comes Buddy in from his walk. Oh, I needed cheering up, Buddy. And you've certainly done that. But he's a good boy. Buddy's a dog, as you can probably hear from that shaking.
Yeah, there he goes.
I was describing for any new listeners, but I mean, I doubt there are any.
No. But there may be some people who've forgotten who he is. There he is, drinking there. He adds a certain humanity, ironically, to this podcast. That, you know, it's sort of mundane domesticity to it. You know, context. Yeah. He's very thirsty.
Yeah. Well, back to our Daniel Blake.
Yes.
I think it inspires you to ask a lot of questions and have this debate.
Who's going to go and see it, though? Is it on general release?
It's on general release. And I normally go on Mondays to the Crouch End Picture House because they do an offer there which is cheaper on the Mondays.
Right.
And... out of all the Mondays I've been, which is quite a few this year, this was the fullest I'd seen the cinema.
Right.
A lot of old people, and I live in Muswell Hill, where a lot of the richer old people there.
Okay.
So I hope they felt guilty about all the houses and money that they've got.
But do they like Ken Loach films, old people?
I should think so, because I think Kathy Come Home was a sort of big... which I've only seen bits of, which was a huge sort of social... was how he became famous, wasn't it? Was that Ken Loach?
It's Kez is the one I think of when I think of Ken Loach, but...
That was the big sort of social film of its time. When was that? The 1950s? Sorry about this. I need to look up on...
Kez was in 69.
Yeah, Cafe Come Home was a play that he was famous for in 1966, which everyone talks about this woman who loses her home and Chara and the welfare system screwed. And it's fascinating that 50 years later, he's making the same film, or film with similar film for themes.
Yeah.
Apologies for my poor description of that.
It feels so relevant that, you know, I feel almost bad that I haven't seen it as well. I mean, we tend to see different things each, but I would like to see this one. Because it just feels like there's something very, very wrong. And if a filmmaker as talented as he is managing to sort of put a finger on it and go, there, look at it and empathise, for God's sake.
I think that because he just makes it, the way he does it, he just shoots the film without, like I said before, there's no extra style to it. It's just, here is the brutal reality.
Yes.
It becomes so much more powerful because it's verging on a sort of, almost a fly on the wall documentary, really.
Mm, right.
It's, you know, you're just following these people and seeing inside their life what they're doing and how they're helping each other out. At times you think, oh, maybe are they a bit too saintly, these characters?
That's it's the always one tricky, thing. That, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because if it's not autobiographical, it's very easy to sort of over sentimentalise or oversimplify or make things grimmer than they actually are because you're imagining. I mean, I think people have levied that accusation at Mike Lee a bit.
But, yeah,
who, you know, does similar sort of British working class family things.
I'm still thinking about it, really. And I haven't really. That's 3 or 4 days ago. Normally, I have formulated my opinion, but I don't really know what my opinion is, other than it's made me feel a little bit more depressed than I was already.
Okay, but do you feel more connected to reality, even though you're more depressed? You know, the reality you inhabit.
Yeah, I just. It just makes you think that life is quite tough and shit, apart from for very few select people, maybe. I don't know. Anyway, let's not bring everyone down. Anyway, I think it's an important film.
Okay, how many Marics?
I'll give it probably, in terms of 9.
Brilliant. 9 Marics, right, Daniel Blake.
And I think you should go in. It's the most compelling film I've seen this year. It wasn't the most enjoyable time I've had in the cinema, but some films have just have got a powerful message to them.
Great. Well, I'm going to try and check it out. If anyone's seen it as well and would like to add your thoughts, then why not get in contact with us? You can go to filmfandango.co.uk and fill out the form there. Some people have already done that, which is why I think it's probably time for this. Here's a letter from James. Dear Film Fandazzlers, it's a new one. Hope you're well. The last time I wrote to you, I was quite drunk, so forgot I'd done it. It was a pleasant or mortifying surprise to hear you read it out on the podcast. I think this could be a new game. Listeners watch a film while drinking heavily, write an email to you, and then tune in on Friday to hear what they've written and see if they agree still. Just a thought. What do you reckon?
That'd be interesting,
It would be interesting, yeah.
But purely for you, the listener.
Yes, it's a game for one person. However, I had to write in this time about a very sobering and important film I've just watched on Netflix called The 13th. It takes its name from the constitutional amendment that freed the US slaves. The film explores the damning caveat in the amendment that stipulates that basically criminals can still be treated as slaves. From this, it explores the history of the criminalization of an entire race of supposedly free people. As you can imagine, it's powerful, uncomfortable viewing. However, it takes on a new light when towards the end of the film it takes footage of the historical abuse and lynchings that we, the viewer, already saw at the start of the film, but this time with a VO of Donald Trump at his rallies talking about how we treated activists in the good old days. I'm used to seeing Trump clips intercut with a trendy late-night US talk show host coming back with a zinger. To see it in this context is all too real and all too terrifying. It's filmmaking at its most powerful. I implore you and your listeners to watch it. I understand this might be too long to get read out, but even if this email means you two get to watch it, it's worth it. Keep up the top work, lads, and KWTF. Keep watching the films. Yeah, it's easier to say that. Keep watching the films, James. Thank you, James. The 13th, which is now on Netflix.
This is turning into a really bleak episode, isn't it?
And with the film I've watched, it's not going to get any better. So this is a reality one. This is not an escapism episode, I'm afraid.
Yeah, I mean, listen to this if you want to make your life worse.
I know, or, you know, grow up. Get serious. This is the serious episode.
I've got one.
Okay, yep.
A letter, that is.
Okay.
Oh, did you want to carry on talking about serious stuff?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I'm feeling like I'm getting in the groove of being serious.
Well, snap out of it. This is from Tyler Rundle. Subject, Swiss Army Man. Good. I talked about this a couple of weeks ago. I'm very interested to what he... Oh, he said in David's best James Mason voice.
Oh, do you want me to do James Mason?
Well,
I mean, I don't really have a best James Mason.
Well, second
voice.
Best.
I have an A James Mason.
Okay.
Well, I don't. I have my impression of Eddie Izzard doing James Mason. Okay. Tyler says,
"Hello, Merrick, David and Buddy, and sometimes Danielle. I heard you hadn't yet seen Swiss Army Man and wanted to get the word out. I found it funny, crass, moving, inventive, very odd, and I loved every minute. At its heart, Swiss Army Man is a poignant look at the relationships we have with others and how they are affected by societal norms. However, woven throughout is a self-knowing that let... However, woven throughout is a self-knowing that never lets any moment become too up its own arse. It's obvious from the start that Radcliffe and Dano had great fun making this film. Their chemistry, together with the soundtrack, really drives home much of the comedy and emotion. It's a just world. The soundtrack itself would receive serious awards consideration. That should probably be, if in a just world. Oh, I didn't read it right. Sorry, it's me, James Mason. I've been dead a while. Is he dead? I don't know.
Yes.
Probably. I'm dead. Okay, back to the letter. In a just world, the soundtrack itself would receive serious awards consideration. Overall, I simply fell in love with how much Swiss Army Man launches itself headfirst into this Charlie Kaufman-esque stream of consciousness, world of self-exploration. I give it a full 10 out of 10 Tylers. My favorite film of the year so far. I look forward to your thoughts on it. Keep watching the films. Sincerely, your friend from Austin, Texas."
It's supposed to be very nice in Austin, Texas.
Is it? Never been to... I've read about it. Yeah, I got out at of the airport on a connecting flight. That's as close to Texas as I've been.
Oh, David.
Yeah, yeah. Weirdly, though, connecting flights, I wasn't supposed to be in the country. Certainly didn't have a visa to be in America. Just wandering around, because it was for 5 hours, I found myself outside.
Really?
It's weird, isn't it? First thing I saw... White stretch limo, fat guy in a Stetson.
Yes. Well, Tyler sent that email before the episode we talked about, just before Swiss Army Man, a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, a couple of weeks ago now.
A very good film.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I am glad Tyler enjoyed that one. You enjoyed it. I'm trying to remember what you thought of it.
Yes, I thought it was brilliant. I thought it was really inventive.
Yeah.
One more?
Sure.
This is the subject. This is from Martin Locock. The Siege of Jadotville. Dear Marek, David and Buddy, I watched Kajaki on your recommendation and agreed that it is a gripping watch. There's a similar film... Sorry, I'm reading this really badly. There's a similar feel to The Siege of Jadotville, now on Netflix, about Irish UN peacekeepers caught up in the Congo Civil War. The action scenes are tense and thrilling, but the film is let down by weak characterisation and lack of political context. 7 out of 10, Martins. Keep watching the films. Martin. Thanks, Martin.
Yes, Kunjaki, if you haven't listened to that episode, is also called Kilo 2 Bravo and is a fairly low-budget independent British film about squaddies in Afghanistan.
Very
and
good.
It's almost like a locked door... or bottle episode, as we call them, or, you know, locked door film. It's in one location basically, but it's excellent. That location just happens to be outdoors. It's fantastic, isn't it?
Yeah, I was quite surprised at the start. You think I don't know why. Whenever I see this film, lots of British actors, and looks low budget at the start, I think, oh, she's going to be really shit.
I'm just glad you have confidence in the British filmmaking system.
Let's do one more, shall we?
Yeah, why not?
Oscar Doughty's written in...
Oscar Doughty?
Yeah.
That's a good name.
He's very good.
It sounds like a parody account of someone who trolls the Oscars.
Well, maybe. He's got the subject, he's written his podcast question. I like that. You know exactly what you're getting there.
Podcast question.
Hi, Marek and David and Buddy, the dog. Just watched Marek's latest video upload, so please could I have this read out in an American Chinese accent? Oh, no.
What's American Chinese? Have you done that on one of your videos?
Well, it's just American, isn't it?
Yeah.
I didn't do any Chinese in that... I did a video when I wasn't doing a Chinese accent.
You did one video where you weren't doing a Chinese accent?
Well, most of them I'm not doing. All of my videos I'm not doing a Chinese accent.
Or you're doing a really bad one.
Yeah. I was just wondering what film from your student days you still rate. For me, it's Bad Boy Bubby, a film that as a youth I used to clear my flat of hangers on after a weekend of dirty habits. Oh! I read hangers if it was like...
Yeah, no, hangers on.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. He would clear his flat of hangers after a weekend of dirty habits.
I put a comma.
I mean, you've made it sound like he was getting into autoerotic asphyxiation or something.
I read it again.
Yeah.
For me, it's Bad Boy Bubby, a film that as a youth, I used to clear my flat of hangers on after a weekend of dirty habits.
Right.
They just didn't like the weird incest and cats wrapped in cling film. Cats wrapped in cling film. What's wrong with me? If you haven't seen it, please do. Yes, I have not. P.S. Keep watching the films and making the weird vlog, Marek. Well, it's not weird. I've never heard of Bad Boy Bubby.
No, and what dirty habits need hangers on? I mean, there's a mystery surrounding this entire email.
Bad Boy Bubby. I'm putting in into my IMDb. It's taking a long while to come up. Here's the brief blurb of it. Bubby spent 30 years trapped in the same small room, tricked by his mother. One day, he manages to escape.
Deranged and naive.
In equal measures, his adventure into modern life begins. Well, I'm fascinated by Bad Boy Bubby.
It sounds like an Oscar-winning film, The Room.
It's got 7.5 on... IMDb.
Well, they're from 9,500 votes. I've never heard of this. From 1993. Wow. We can check that out.
9 wins, 3 award nominations. So, you won quite a few weird festivals.
Okay.
Bad Boy Bubby. Very interesting.
It does sound like something you'd like.
Why?
It's got cats wrapped in cling film in it.
Yeah, well, I'd wouldn't like that, yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, if you'd like to... write to us and have your letter read out on the programme. We're running a bit light on emails again. As I said at the beginning of this section, just go to filmfandango.co.uk and you can get in contact with us from there. Now, I've seen a film this week, Manic. Mm-hmm. I saw a film that came out this year. It did do the cinema runs and then it's just come on to paid for streaming services. It's My Scientology Movie by Louis Theroux.
Is it an actual film or is it one of his documentary things?
Oh, it's a documentary, feature length documentary.
Okay.
Whether it warrants a cinema release is a question. But basically, what it is he sets out to make a documentary about the Church of Scientology. Unlike previous ones, he, according to his introduction anyway, he doesn't set out to just sort of do a stitch up like Louis Theroux often does. He's just interested in finding out, however weird, who these people are.
He's normally a bit like Columbo, isn't he, in terms of
tending
to be quite stupid and asking questions
and just lets them sort of spin on the spot, you know.
Yeah.
And of course, as you'd expect, he gets almost zero access, and so he tries to work out a way he could still film a film about Scientology, and ends up finding one of the sort of the ex second in command of the Church of Scientology, who's since escaped it all and is now one of their harshest critics and has written books about it, and recreates some of the scenes that from the more, you know, sinister sides of Scientology.
With other actors?
Yeah, with actors. So he casts them and he does all of this.
Oh, I would like to have done that job.
Well, it was in LA at the time.
Oh, yeah, okay.
And of course, the usual happens that they start getting trailed by Scientologists who start badgering them and trying to intimidate them and psychologically make their lives misery to try and get them off the to stop criticizing them. The usual stuff. Now, there was a high profile book and film about the Church of Scientology, an expose called Going Clear, that I've also seen, and I think I've talked about on this podcast, in fact.
Yeah.
And that, for me, was, you know, a real eye-opener of, just with clarity, the dark recesses of this enormous cult. And if you haven't seen Going Clear, my Scientology movie, I think, would be equally fascinating.
I see.
A little more quirky and funny, and Louis Theroux-y, and as such, it's a little more meandery. But the information is there, and the people who were part of it giving their accounts of it is all there. But it's one of those occasions where he just doesn't get the events happening that make for a truly great film. It's the stuff, but it never reaches those heights of, you know, like tension or something completely weird happening or whatever. I think this has got a cinema release because Going Clear was successful. I think it's just an attempt to sort of...
I was surprised that it got a cinema release, sounds a lot more like a TV.
And it would work well on TV, you know. It feels like another episode of what he does, but I assume it took a lot longer to make than his normal TV ones, because he usually, with TV, picks a knowingly weird group of people and then follows them around for a bit, where with this, it's survivors of a knowingly weird group of people he can't get close to. Like, he goes several times to the outside of the headquarters compound with its razor wire and its cameras and its, you know, lights, and within seconds of them turning up, there's always somebody who says they're trespassing and they have to leave or they're going to call the cops and all of this. Like, it's very aggressive, very, very aggressive. But I think I learnt more watching Going Clear.
And you're a Scientologist now, right?
I am, yes. No, I believe that I am a Thetan, and this is only one of my physical forms, and I will go into another one once this one
is that what they believe
up.
In?
Yeah.
I don't really know what it is. So they've got different physical forms.
Well, it was invented by L. Ron Hubbard, who was a sci-fi writer. Not invented. The truth was given to us by L. Ron Hubbard, who was previously made up bullshit about space shit. And then he spoke the truth. And
Well, there's hope for everyone, I suppose.
There is. But basically, it comes down to a process they call auditing, where you...
it's accountancy.
No, but the word is related, but it's auditing of your emotional states, basically, where you are interviewed holding a rudimentary lie detector, so they can tell basically when you are stressed. So,
that's when you go down Tottenham Court Road and they say, "Well, do you want the personality test?"
That's what they're doing. So basically, that's the first level, and that's what people find good, because as soon as you say something where there's tension in your body, they push you on it until the needle doesn't even flick anymore. So actually, they're not really getting you to address your problems. They're getting you to numb your reaction to those problems. They're getting you to be desensitized to your problems rather than solve them, which is why the adherents all seem to have a sort of sociopathic stare to them, because they've just been numb to stimulus, you know, in their own internal emotions.
So someone said to me, like, going in and saying, "Oh, I look like a potato." 100 times.
Well, yes. Or something that you're less willing to share on a podcast immediately off your own back. You know, so more of the darker stuff that you don't talk about.
I don't like hoovering.
Well, that's another thing. But, I mean, it would be something like they would stumble across something by accident in this process and the needle would go whoom, and they go, "Oh, that's interesting. So, how often do you touch cat's bum?"
Why don't I hoover it?
see, and the needle will be going crazy now because you know, you're panicking a bit.
All I said was that I like the cat's bum hole in that Pets theme because it was grey and the bumhole was pink.
Yeah.
But in real life, I've got no inclination to touch cats.
Well, you see, I don't have a lie detector here, so I can't tell if you're telling the truth or not.
Well,
you have to go down to Tottenham Court Road.
I know in my heart.
Down to their Dianetics Centre and go take one of
their pets. So my friend accused me of wanting to touch a cat's bumhole.
And they go
on a pre-recorded podcast.
Can you leave our building, please? They'd say we don't need your money.
Really?
But there's tiers of it in levels, and it would cost you to get to the top level anything from $500,000 to $2 million. Classes and stuff.
Okay.
But anyway, there's plenty to learn about it. But it's actually really a character piece about the ex-enforcer of the Church in Scientology, who's the guy who's moved on since, and his life is still ruined by them on a yearly basis, and the head of the church who took over after the death of L. Ron Hubbard, which is David Miscavige, and he seems like a deeply sinister man. But there, it's interesting. If you're interested in Scientology and what's going on, then it's a interesting and entertaining enough film, but I would recommend going clear over this film.
I really like Louis Theroux, but yeah. I don't know if I like this sort of his documentaries. It's sort of odd because I think they're half entertaining, but I never think they're real because it's they're never wholly factual.
What do you mean?
They feel about him just sort of going exploring something. It's a lot of it's his personality and his sort of take on it. And it's not really in the area of science, or it just feels that he's sort of bumbling around.
Well, he's just asking questions, and then you get to see what people's answers are. And I suppose that way he's never polemic, because he's just he's asking them to bring their own version of events forward, and then you get a meta narrative by what makes them tense and what they're happy to talk about, you know.
You know, he was friends with Adam and Joe.
They all went to school together. There's a great video of the three of them dancing when they were kids in, like, Joe's kitchen or something.
He's often on Adam Buxton's podcast, which I highly recommend listening to.
Yeah,
the Louis Theroux episodes are really funny.
Have you listened to the Louis Theroux episode of Richard Herring's podcast?
Yes, I think so.
Because Richard gets quite uncomfortable because Louis doing his interviewing technique on him and getting him to open up about stuff. It's good. Anyway, we can recommend other podcasts, I guess.
Yeah, sure.
Sean, why not?
Oh, I did a guest spot on another film podcast.
Oh, yeah, which one?
Which one I can recommend, because they're going through watching all of Arnold Schwarzenegger's
Oh, this script. One. You did a guest spot on it. Which film did you talk about?
I had to watch Maggie, which was a zombie film.
Oh, yeah. That's recent, isn't it?
Or... Yeah, it was, which is... A film trying to make a point about... I go into about terminal illness, really, and making it about zombies. But the problem was it was about zombies, so it sort of failed.
Yeah, yeah.
But you could hear my... It's called The Arnithology, and a very nice gentleman. But we sat and we recorded it over Skype.
Yeah.
Looking at each other and then sending the recordings off. So it's different.
That's weird, isn't it? I've done a podcast, an American podcast called International Waters, a couple of times. And
oh, yeah.
Do that over Skype. And it is quite difficult when you can't look at each other, which brings us back to, I'm glad you opened your eyes again, because otherwise it's a bit like Skype. Yeah. If we'd closed our eyes for the whole of this and occasionally just...
That's very much like Skype.
Yeah, that would have been exactly like it.
Well,
let's not do it.
Let's wrap this up, shall we?
Sure. That's enough for this week. I'd probably give my Scientology movie...
Oh, sorry.
6 Davids.
Watch the other one.
Watch Going Clear, I'd say. I did enjoy it, but it doesn't... Reality did not provide the story he was looking for. I've said the website several times now, but here it is again, filmfandango.com. And we also do this for free. So if you go to our website, you can click the donate button and help us out so we can continue to do it. Everyone who has done, thank you very much.
Yes, thank you very much. Don't feel that... I mean, if you do donate, you will instantly feel much better about yourselves.
Yes. That's right. And if this serious episode has a message, it's that we need to be more giving, isn't it?
Yes.
Of ourselves.
That is what I, Daniel Blake, was to donate money to Film Fandango.
That's right. So you don't need to go watch it now. We've told you what the film was about. So thanks for doing that immediately.
All right, everyone.
Okay.
I hope you enjoy your lives.
Keep watching the film.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.